it from here. Don't go away when you can take it from here. Why don't you stay and maybe join in the fun now? The show has begun.
Everyone is in a flap and almost anything can happen.
Yes, we've joined the old Dick Benton and Professor Jimmy Edwards together, James. Almost anything can happen, and presumably will. Moreover, we found Wallace Eaton, Alan Dean, and Tina, Mungo's present, and Frank Cantrell has brought the augmented review of Shillong. So if you've got half an hour that's more or less clear,
take it from here.
Joy, there's something I've been meaning to talk to you about for some time. Have you noticed Jimmy lately? He's getting plump.
Well, I don't see a lot of him, Dick.
Then you need glasses, Joy, because there's an awful lot of him to see. He's really getting big.
Oh, Dick, you're just being critical. Jimmy isn't a slim, whipcord type like you.
Joy, now you're turning my head.
Well, it might look better that way. Besides, we can't say anything to Jimmy. He's so sensitive about his shape. He's very thin-skinned.
Well, no wonder. There's a lot of strain on it. But I'll be tactful about it, Joy. I'll use the indirect approach. I'll draw him on one side, and I'll say in that suave way of mine, "Now look here, Fatty."
"Like Mark Bentley."
"Ah, you didn't know somebody was listening, did you?"
"Well, I was sort of hoping that..."
"You hoped wrong. Your remarks were unwarranted, abhorrent, and gratuitously indefensible."
"Oh, Jimmy, those are hard words."
"Then you can look them up." "Frankly, Joy, I don't consider my waistline as a subject for fun."
"Now, look, Jimmy, I was plump like you once, but it was only puppy fat. I grew out of it. I became a very handsome, desirable creature."
"You grew out of that, too." "Jimmy, don't fly off the handlebar. You've got to let us help you get your weight down."
"I don't see the need for it at all. My doctor says I'm as strong as a horse."
"The doctors can't always tell."
"This one can. He's a vet."
"But it isn't just health. There's a question of glamour. You can't expect to attract a girl with your figure."
"I've never seen a girl with my figure."
No. Dick's right. If you want glamour, Jimmy, you've got to have that slim look. You've got to be the fine drawn type. You've got to look as if you've lived."
"That's it. Like me. You can see I've lived."
"Bentley, Joy means recently."
"What you've got to do, Jimmy, is to cut down on your eating. That's what I have to do. I watch my shape."
"Me too."
You cut down on your eating?"
"No, I watch Joy's shape." "A bit late. Oh, but really, I'm chirpy tonight."
"You should be after laying that egg." "As a matter of fact, Bentley, I am keeping my weight down."
"But, Jimmy, you're keeping it all down in one place."
"Well, how about it, Jimmy? What are you doing about exercise? You want to get in a few hours every morning with the dumbbell."
"Yes, I'm at your service any time from 9 o'clock on."
"I meant weightlifting."
"Oh. Well, you can set your mind at rest. The last time I weighed myself, I can say truthfully I was 11 stone."
"11 stone? You say that truthfully?"
"I certainly do. That's how I tipped the scales."
"Jimmy, you didn't tip those scales. You bribed them."
"Well, if you don't believe me, you can jolly well ask my runner, Wallace Eaton, so there." "Oh, Wall, haven't I lost quite a few pounds recently?"
"Oh, yes, Jim. I told you not to back odds on favourites for a place." "But you always was a reckless hound. Oh, we're very proud of Jim back in the building."
"You can tell us, Wallace. Was Jimmy always plump?"
"Oh, yes. He was big even when he was small. Very, very hearty eater he was. You should have seen him at dinner time. He was always well into his afters before the echo of his soup had died away." "Here, Jim, I seen your mum this morning. He was walking along Berkeley Square with a couple of dogs."
"On a leash?"
"No, on a plate." It was your old man's dinner, Jim. I chatted her for a bit. Know whose name cropped up? This'll recall fragrant memories. Miriam Gutter."
"What a ghastly name. How do you find these people?"
"Oh, very sociable as a rule. She always listens to your broadcasters, Miriam Gutter. Laughs like a drain."
"Really? Did she hear me on Rhubarb Room the other night?"
"Well, I think she got you mixed up with something else. I said to her, the BBC are thinking of putting Jim on Rhubarb."
"What did she say?"
We put Castor on ours.
Did you have a good Easter?
Oh, not bad at all, Jimmy. A few odd eggs came my way.
Oh, I didn't know you were doing a concert.
I wasn't doing a concert. On Monday, I went for a brisk gallop in Rotten Row.
Oh, you never told us, Dick. Do you own a horse or hire one?
Supposed to have a horse?
Oh, Bentley, honestly.
Yes?
Oh, you are a Twitter piece.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, speaking for myself, I went off somewhere where there were no people.
So you did a concert, too. Oh, I'm really rattling them tonight.
Well, get us at the fifth day. Tell you what, let's look around and see how other folks spent Easter.
Jolly, wacko, bang on, and similar RAF colloquialism, joy. Ladies and gentlemen, get fell in for Facts on Bank Holiday. Pipe survey team has been out again, this time to check the vital statistics on bank holidays. Here are the published figures.
When asked what they did over the holiday period,
27% said they ran down to Brighton.
80% said they preferred to get there by train. 4% replied, I'd rather not stay.
32% said the weather looked awfully treacherous, so they just went round to their mother-in-law.
58% said their mother-in-law looked worse than the weather.
1% told our observer,
I stay indoors and have me holiday by all those suggestions. I just sit here in the parlor and say to myself, I'm getting sunburned, I'm getting sunburned, I'm getting sunburned.
On the subject of money for the holidays,
17% said to make their wife happy, they always lash out at Easter.
66% to make Easter happy, they always lash out at their wife. 4% replied, I'd rather not say.
43% agreed that money had never been as tight as this year.
72% agreed that they had never been as tight either.
1% told our observer,
I'm getting sunburned, I'm getting sunburned, I'm getting sunburned.
Of the people who took part in our survey,
17% were with their husband,
28% were with their wife. 4% replied, I'd rather not say.
1% told our observer,
fetch a doctor, quick, I've got sunstroke.
No bank holiday would be complete without snapshots. And now the holiday is over, there is still the pleasure of showing the photograph around the office.
This spotted one here is Gilbert, open-handed the sheriff. Good looking, isn't he?
It's difficult to tell from this photo. Seems a little underdeveloped in the foreground.
Oh, well, he hasn't been well lately. Mind you, he always was the lean and hungry part, like Henry Fonda, and he more go in him, I'm pleased to say. Not that I...
Quite right. And this person here, is this your mother?
No, that's Gilbert again. He's wearing Mum's hat for a laugh. Oh, he is witty. He stuck a banana behind his ear and did Carmen Miranda. Laugh.
You mean a bit of I.
Oh, not with Mum there. Oh, look at this one. This is Gilbert in his leopard skin Tarzan bathing trunks poised on the springboard at the end of the pier. Oh, and this is him being carried into the first aid tent. The tide was out.
And who's that shrieking with laughter in the background?
Oh, that's Mum. She got very pally with our driver. They had a few drinks together, and here's a picture we took of them just after they were summoned for driving at 20 miles an hour.
But you can't be summoned for driving a coach at 20 miles an hour.
Oh, this was through the Victoria and Albert Museum.
Bank holidays mean fun fairs. In London, the big fair on Hampstead Heath was once more alive with light, music, and the familiar fairground cry.
Oh, matey. How romantic it is here in this tent. Just you, me, and the giant two-headed rat. I must say you look a typical merrymaker in your tube-look sweater. And that novel little hat, embroidered, switch me off, I'm nationalized. What a riotous devilment can we get up to next? I know. Let's weigh ourselves. No more candy floss for me, sir. It appeals to the epicure in me, but I don't want to appear gutsy. What say we go back to the try your strength machine? Oh, matey, how proud I was when the hammer struck and the bell clanged. Only this time, you must let me have a try.
Easter bank holiday means another Easter parade where the new summer fashions are displayed. The big sensation this year was a lady's hat which had a two-valve radio set built in. On Sunday's Easter parade, Price eavesdropped on a young lady who was wearing one of these hats.
Seriously? While I'm waiting on this park bench, I might as well switch my hat on.
And so here is the program parade of some of the shows you'll be hearing over the holiday period. There are the usual family favorites and housewives' choice. These are followed by...
The great news, darling. The Colonel told me I'm up for promotion. I'll have another pip soon. And you know what I'll be then?
The Greenwich Time Signal.
Oh, Tony, now we can get married. When we danced together, I was always afraid you'd read the message in my eyes.
Have a go, Joe.
We'll marry immediately. I must rush back and give the news to my regiment.
The Dagenham Girl Piper.
Oh, we two will be so happy. And when we've got our own home, perhaps one day a tiny little stranger will arrive.
Arthur Ashe saying, how do you do?
She's always on the back porch in the pale moonlight. With her young man, she spoons the hours away. And just when tired out neighbors think she said goodnight, at 5 to 12 it's 10 to 1 to say. Hold me just a little closer, dear. Whisper little things I love to hear. Don't go as soon as this. Hold me close and kiss me, do. Just a little tighter, dear. Say you'll never, never leave me, dear. Why waste that moon above? Hold me close and love me, do. When I was out with Jimmy just the other night,
We sat in Regent's Park, and thereupon I tried to make him kiss me, tried with all my might. Now listen to a real phenomenon. Oh, Jimmy, come here.
Yes, Jim.
Come and brush my teeth with your mustache.
You're just tempting me to have a bash.
Oh, don't waste a moment, please. Hold me close and kiss me, do.
Oh, Miss Nichols, Miss Nichols, please.
Jimmy, can't you see me pining here?
There's a time and place, but not now, dear.
Don't scowl and turn away. Tell me, James, what have you got to say?
I don't need love. I don't want love. Oh, the ghastly thought of it. Time it is through us.
Jimmy, since you feel so strongly, dear, I'll accept my fate without a tear. Here's something you can quote. Make your program note. You've missed the boat.
Thank you, Miss Nichols. The other voice you heard singing was misogynistic me. And is Webster Booth worried? No, not really. I think I've started a career now. So we come to my program notes on this week's film, which deals with Spain, a country whose people are very proud of their beautiful Pyrenees. Though you can't see them under those long skirts. When we got to Pyrenees... When we got to Spain, it was siesta. That's Spanish for Tuesday. It isn't really, but I thought it might amuse you. Fool that I am. Anyway, we went along to the bullfight. Now, this is a wonderful institution. A man goes out there alone, and after a long battle, comes back with one dead bull. Something like our Argentine meat buyer. But it was amateur talent night. They were giving a chance to an amateur bull. I persuaded Benji to go into the ring and have a tentative bash. He looked wonderful in that red cape and that frilly jacket. And the three-cornered hat fitted him exceptionally well. He happened to have a three-cornered head. He ran into the arena with a ringing cry of hola, and the crowd rose to their feet. So he ran back to the dressing room for his trousers. But he wasn't the least bit nervous. For an hour, he swerved and thrust and lunged with his sword. And then he came out of the dressing room. The mayor's daughter led the bull in, I should say, and you know, sign up, is it? A huge, snotting creature that would rush madly at a man and gore him half to death. Apart from that, she was quite a nice girl. The bull advanced slowly, the atmosphere became tense, a hush fell on the ring, and something primitive and ugly ran through the crowd. It was Bentley. And to this day, Bentley still has the scar from this encounter. He won't tell you where it is, but he has to smile when he looks back on it. Come to our overture conducted by Frank Chantel with a stick of Spanish. He intends to play the ritual fire dance by Defia, to which the only comment is, go ahead, I defy. Overture, senores, por favor.
I bring you a colorful tale of the love life of Lolita, the wild Spanish gypsy girl. The girl who had all the fire and passion of an overture by Bizet. In fact, men took one look at her and said, "Let's get Bizet." What could be more attractive than the colorful Spanish countryside of Seville? Even the oranges have a feel. Starring, we have Sulky Joy Nichols, wearing the new off-the-shoulder blouse which brings out her eyes, and everyone else's too. He portrays Lolita, whose city is spelt ruin.
I am. Oh, hold me close and beg for me mucho. Let me whisper, yo te quiero. Yo te quiero, my old man, I te quiero the rest.
What of her romantic lover? The rain in Spain stays mainly on the plain, but occasionally a drip comes into town. Yes, it's Richard Bentley, wearing the new off-the-shoulder shoulder. He plays Don Ricardo, the young cornet in the Spanish Dragoon, part-time bullfighter and key cut while you wait.
Oh, that Lolita, she is what we call in Spain a cuanta with plenty of lagusta. When I first kissed her on the mountain, she was shy. Then she got a little bolder.
What happened then?
She lost me with it.
The villain of the piece is Professor Jimmy Edwards, who has been earmarked by a leading critic. The marks on his ear have worn off, so he portrays Eduardo, rascally leader of the gypsy band.
Lolita, steal me a tambourine. We must go down to Seville and cut the throats of a few civilians. It's not for nothing they call me El Diablo.
I know Diablo means devil, but what is the L for?
Leonard.
So to our picture, which was made in space. We received full cooperation from Franco, who, as usual, had Monty Crick at the piano. Ladies and gentlemen, we present Forever Caramba, or Fiesta Parade.
Hola, Don Ricardo. So you wait for the beautiful Lolita.
Yes, she looks so lovely with her hair piled up, wearing those antique Spanish combs.
The word is comb. But have a care, Don Ricardo Bentley. She is a gypsy girl and you are of the gentry.
I know, I keep saying to myself, gentry Bentley. But she has me bewitched. Those eyes, those lips, that chin, that neck. Oh, if I go on, I shall be off my mind.
You'll be off the air, too. Look, here she comes. Adios, Don Ricardo.
Edmundo Ross, Don Felipe. Buenos dias, Lolita. I saw you picking your way here through the crowd, pocket by pocket.
Ah, my little soldier boy and part-time bullfighter. Have you been waiting long?
Since last Sunday. I stood on this corner so long, people began to strike matches on me. Ah, Lolita, beloved, to meet you tonight, I had to break an army regulation.
What did you do?
I shot the colonel. What am I to do?
Oh, you must flee with Lolita through the mountains. Then you can join my gypsy band. You can sing the vocals.
Oh, no. No, I am of noble blood. That would be cowardly. And what is more worthwhile than chivalry and honor? You talk me into it to the mountains.
Meanwhile, I, Eduardo, was crouched in my mountain fastness, which I wore in face of the more common zip fastness. With me were my ruffians of Pedro the Fisherman, Pablo the Dreamer, and Geraldo the Concert Orchestra. Suddenly, Lolita clattered into camp. She got off the mule, and I received my usual kiss.
Eduardo, stop kissing that mule. See, I have brought somebody to join our company.
How do you do, senor?
Gad, the maid of the mountain.
Dragoon. He's not like us. He's a little brandy.
Well, it's from riding a mule so long, you can't help it.
Well, it says here she said grandy, not bandy, but maybe too late. Permit me to introduce myself. I am Don Ricardo Bentley, de Navarro, Melacrino, del Estudantina, de Formosa, for Sorrento de la Sorrentia Grandia.
account designated to the Principality of Valencia for a best doubly and Miranda de Capistran. And you?
Jim, a peasant. Oh, Lolita, this man is well connected.
Well, he hasn't come apart yet.
Ah, here in the mountains, we do not like noblemen. It is a man's life. Here we do not bother to keep our hands lily white and our skin smooth.
Oh, you should it so silly. Let yourself go. I mean, start with an astringent and
then I have killed men for less.
Well, I am not afraid. I can fight with the best of you. Let me pit my strength against any one of your company. That one there.
Mama, why is that man pointing at me?
Very well, he may join us. Pablo, bring him an application form.
Si.
And issue him with the gang badge.
Si.
And see that he gets the book of rules and the monster all-purpose penknife.
Si.
Pablo does not speak much English.
Doesn't speak much Spanish either. So now I am a member of Eduardo's Gypsy Bandit.
Yes, and if you enroll 2 more chums, you get a free bottle of invisible ink. Give him his mask, Eduardo.
Right, black mask, Bentley. One word of warning, little bullfighter. Stay away from Lolita. She is my woman. I'm her man.
What am I then?
4% replied, I'd rather not say.
So Don Ricardo joined our gang. It was a hard life. He lived with his mule, ate with his mule, he even slept with his mule. Well, he had to. It was the mule's blanket. I had an idea. Lolita was seeing him on the QT. That's the Queen's Terrace, a little gypsy tea room that was run by an aunt of mine. Then one day I heard them talking. This confirmed my suspicion. Lolita tossed her head coyly in the air. When it came down, Bentley caught it and spoke.
Oh, don't lose your head, Lolita. Let me take you away from all this. I want to get among poor, simple, honest peasants.
Where could you go?
The BBC. Or to my father's hacienda. He has a large herd of cattle.
How many heads?
My father or the cattle? Oh, of course, the cattle have only one. Oh, come away with me, Carissima.
Oh, no, Lolita is afraid. Fate is against us. I looked in my cup this morning and I didn't like the tea leaves.
Why not?
It was a cup of coffee. Oh, Carita, the omens are bad.
The coffee wasn't so hot either. But there are no grounds there for fear. Oh! I've said it. Come, Lolita, kiss me quick.
Wait. Aha! Have you forgotten me?
No, but Lolita was first.
Eduardo! Eduardo, you said you were going to Fiesta.
He wasn't at home.
Eduardo. Eduardo, come. I can explain. Put that knife away.
No, Don Ricardo, your end has come. Now you will taste cold steel. Here, have at you. Have at you.
Well, I'd rather not you. I mean, not with these feet. If you don't mind, I'll just slip home and then...
Come back. Draw your dagger. Oh, Lolita. Put away those castanets while we're fighting.
They aren't castanets. These are my knees.
Don't be frightened. I'll grip him up.
Ah, touche, touche. What's the score now?
Touche. Hit that, Eduardo.
Oh!
He's down. Ricardo, you stabbed him. Now I am yours.
No, no. I've seen the error of my ways. You are a cheat and a breaker of hearts, Lolita. I know where my duty lies. I'm returning to face the bull again.
You're going back to the arena?
No, I'm going back to the army.
Caramba!
Frank Cantell and the augmented review orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Joy Nichols, Dick Benson, Professor Jimmy Edwards, encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Alan Dean, and the keynote. Frank Nur and Dennis Norton raked up the script, and Charles Maxwell spread it over half an hour. Joy, Dick, and Jimmy invite you to tune in next week and say...